Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow was round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel. When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
Happy Holla Chrisma Kwanzaa Conic, all that jazz. I think you can't.
Chrisma Hanzaa Kwanica.
You can't say that, right? Because the Gap owns that. Or not the Gap.
The Old Navy.
Old Navy owns that shit.
Yeah.
So happy whatever fucking holiday, Festivus for the rest of us, whatever.
Happy winter solstice.
Yeah.
Yay.
To everyone out there. 78.
Episode 78, yes.
Always 7, with the 7 and the 8.
Always.
So.
Makes 15.
It does make 15. If you're a loser. Apply some calculus. That shit can mean whatever you want.
Yes.
Yeah. So, a little bit of news this week. Kind of interesting.
A little bit.
Okay. Not a huge amount.
Okay.
Yesterday, I got to play with the Movi Brad Roberts purchased that we have use of.
Yes.
So, I balanced it for our camera. For those of you who don't know, a Movi is a three-axis gimbal. I think we've talked about it before. Just go to freeflysystems.com and check it out. It's a three-axis gimbal that allows really smooth shots on the cheap. So you don't have to rent a crane or lay down dolly tracks or do any of that jazz. You just handhold this thing, go nuts, super smooth, looks awesome.
I also have a line on a Ronin now.
Oh, like you mean the copter or the, I'm sorry, the gimbal for that too? Or are you...
The gimbal.
Okay.
A copter.
Not a masterless samurai.
Correct.
Okay. Because that's
nope, a real,
really
well, important. I got a line on one of those too. But,
really, excellent.
Yeah, but no. So I have. We now have
lots of options.
Yes,
lots of options.
Yes, and this is a local, also West Seattle connection.
Nice, excellent.
So
yeah, I'm super excited. I do like the Movi because it's way lighter than the Ronin. The Ronin does feel a little bit more industrial, and I think is probably a little quicker to set up and tear down and stuff.
Yes, and our Movi experience on depth was less than awesome.
Did you? How many operators were you using? Just one?
One or two. It was mostly the setup of the unit and it always being
temperamental,
persnickety.
Yeah,
yeah.
I set it up from zero yesterday. Totally, I did it in 15 minutes, and know for a fact that I could do it in about 6.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, we're not using a Red. We're not using a bunch of extra stuff.
Right.
We do have a field monitor transmitter coming for SDI, so we'll be able to even look at the... like, the person, basically, who's running the pan tilt.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a second operator running pan tilt and eventually focus. We'll be able to sort of get video live, and that'll be awesome.
Sweet. Yeah.
So, unfortunately, electronic focuses are really expensive. So, I'm going to look into either building a DIY one or saving up.
Yeah.
So, it would be nice to have a remote focus regardless.
Yeah, it would be really cool to build our own.
Yeah, I think so. Like, maybe one of those Arduino Pros, like the little prefab. We'll just essentially do all the prototyping on a standard Arduino and then code a prefab and just make one.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome. So, yeah, that's my news. Well, that's not all my news, because we did on, it was Wednesday night, right? That's when we had a little get-together for a certain bard.
Yeah.
Certain half of the podcast.
Yeah, right. Sorry, forgot.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Thanks. Thanks, Andy.
You forgot. Well,
forgot.
You know what? On the bright side, that means you drank enough.
That's
perfect.
That was a good birthday party.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, other than that, my week has just been regular work. We got reorged.
Yay. Reorganized?
Yeah, reorg just means they basically completely shift up the organization for usually no good reason. This time it was actually a pretty good reason. They did cut a bunch of... So they didn't cut any jobs, but they did move a bunch of people out of the org.
Oh, okay.
So, whatever.
Is it all for the better? Does it seem so far?
I think in the future it will be all for the better. For the immediate time, it is very stressful because we have over half of our work of our for the quality engineering side, we have over half of our workers gone now. So we have to pick up that slack, and there's no plan to delay any of the roadmapped shipment dates. So,
Okay.
FDA there.
Yeah, that's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah. So, anything else going on in your neck these days?
Well, we have what we thought we'd be able to talk about this podcast, the meeting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because someone had a way better birthday than I did.
Oh.
And ended up in the urgent care clinic, needing some IVs to recover. So
that's a good birthday.
Since all of this is non-disclosed name-wise, I'm pretty sure I can say that.
Straight up, like alcohol poisoning, or
I don't think AP, just dehydration. Okay. I think
always drink your water, folks. I don't care how drunk you get, drink your water.
Yeah, gotta always have the water.
Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of drinking,
Have
you checked out the Nick Offerman special on Netflix yet?
Yes, the minute it came out.
Oh my, first of all, one of the greatest love stories I've ever seen.
Yes.
Holy shit, he and Megan are like insanely, ridiculously, grossly in love.
Yeah.
And she hits him with a steak.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And he blows a huge snot ball out of his nose.
Yeah, so
in slow motion.
Is it sad that I recognized exactly what kind of gel that they mixed up for that?
No, but I think it's awesome because I was like, there's no way that's natural.
No. Oh, God, no. If there is, he's dying.
Yes.
I mean, if that was natural, he needs to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But they basically got, for all these little interstitial pieces in this stand-up routine he did, they got this high-speed camera. I'm sure it was a Phantom. Fucking beautiful, though. Holy
crap. Oh, my
goodness,
yeah.
The whole thing is beautiful. It's got the perfect film grain look. I want to eat it.
Yeah.
Not the snot part.
No.
Additionally, they couldn't play a couple of things on the Netflix version, so they did little skits in the middle to sort of like blast not being able to play stuff that's obviously parody.
Yeah.
Definitely fun. Got a really low rating right now, though. It's like under 3 stars.
Really?
I think people were expecting Ron Swanson, not Nick Offerman.
I know, but it was still really close to Ron Swanson. I mean, there
were a couple of definite major political statements he made that separated him from Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
Also, Ron Swanson wouldn't talk about Jesus eating pussy.
True.
That would not happen.
Yeah.
So, but dude was 33. He was a man. Just putting that out there.
And that was amazing. Did you see the Jimmy Fallon... Was the Night Before Christmas?
No, I did not. I should go check
by
that
Nick
out.
Offerman.
Oh, well, okay. Oh,
the most amazing Christmas sweater I have ever seen, and would be happy to own one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I will say this, since we're on a Nick Offerman kick right now, we talked, I think, months ago about this awesome, awesome video we saw online called The Gunslinger, where Nick Offerman does this narration, and it's amazing. Cracked.com picked up distribution of it. So it is now on the front page of Cracked, because it like seriously didn't have that many views. It was under like 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was not getting a ton of views, which is interesting to me because it was fucking awesome. It should have been shared everywhere. So they picked up distribution of it, put it on their front page. So now hopefully way more people will see it.
Yeah.
So go Cracked.
Bob, who was our stage manager / booth operator for Evan and Bobby.
Yeah.
Waited 41 minutes out back of the Pantages, I think, where or the Paramount where Nick Offerman did the stand-up routine here in Seattle.
Yeah.
And met him, has a picture with him on his phone, and I was so...
Fuck you, Bob.
Yes.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that was exactly my response.
Yeah. So there's something that I want to warn everyone about, really dangerous right now. This is like, just hide your kids, hide your wife.
Nick Offerman sighting?
Not Nick Offerman. This is un-Nick...
Jesus eating pussy?
Close.
Great.
Steam sale. There's a Steam sale right now.
Oh.
Like the midsummer one. Same kind of discounts. Mm-hmm. I hate you and love you, Gabe Newell. We're talking things like, oh man, I think I just bought my brother both portals with DLC for like $5. Stuff like that. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Steam sale. So, watch your wallets. Don't get too Newelled this Noel.
Yeah.
And, be careful. Now, in seriousness, we actually do, I do want to say, I don't think she listens, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'd like to just send my thoughts out to Cornelia Moore, whose mother passed this morning, I believe. So, don't get me wrong. She had a great run, like over 90. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, Corey's been sort of prepping for it, but it's always sad.
Yeah, so. It is.
Love you, Corey.
My week consisted of a birthday, phone call.
It's holidays, man. It's holiday week. It's just
I did clean up the downstairs.
Yeah, but then you let Bo in and he all bowed it up again.
Yeah, I know. But it was clean.
Okay, good.
I got the free 47-inch plasma TV that
from Craigslist. I got
from up with a wall mount unit that I got for my birthday and
good.
Blu-ray player that I got for my birthday.
Sweet.
So that's now up mounted on the wall and working.
Nice. Now you don't need a heater in your room anymore.
Well,
is it actually staying pretty cool?
It's staying pretty cool, and it says it's plasma, but I didn't think plasma had square pixels.
No, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go take a look. The thing is, for plasma, a lot of the TVs, because they get they can get burn in.
Mm-hmm.
They use a like this weird deep pixel technology thing that I don't know exactly what it does, but it produces square pixels. But we'll go take a look.
Yeah, I mean, and it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm away from it,
but right.
When I was up close trying to get it off, I was like, wow, there's a lot of... This is all pixelated. This doesn't look like high definition.
Yeah.
And then I, you know...
You sat back.
I was like, okay, this is high definition.
Yep. So, cool. I guess we should probably get to the questions then.
Sure.
Excellent. Start us off.
Let's jump... Because we haven't had a Twitter question in, like, forever. Let's jump to that first.
Okay, this is going to be... I can already tell you, this one's going to get pretty hot on... For both of us, I think we're going to be pretty... opinionated on this, and probably the same opinion.
Probably the same opinion. Mine's just really quick, but
okay.
So Thomas Brophy, who engineered the birthday party, by the way, thank you, Tom.
Yeah, still a Cowboys fan though.
Yeah, and they're winning today, which means that mathematically, even if we win out the rest of the season, apparently we may not be the first seed, and the Cowboys may be. So I told Tom just to hold on, because we're going to steamroll the fuck out of him.
Okay.
But he writes in and asks if we have any thoughts on North Korea apparently greenlighting Hollywood projects these days and theaters canceling The Interview.
They did more than that. They canceled The Interview, and then theaters that decided to show Team America World Police, Paramount refused to let them have the rights to do it. It got even worse. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
And if no one knows about The Interview, it's Seth Rogen and...
James Franco.
James Franco.
Right.
Being two reporters going to interview Kim Jong-un, who is the son and current dictator of North Korea from Kim Jong-il, and the CIA hires them to perform an assassination.
Right, right.
And don't really far-fetched, not really serious.
And it's a Seth Rogen, James Franco movie. I mean, okay, yeah. I'm not, it's not going to be good regardless. Like, no. It's not going to be good. But you now have the highest, like, desired movie in the U.S. Because even though it's not, it's going to be not great.
It's going to make a butt ton of money.
Well, no. They would. It would have. They literally canceled every distribution option. No yes. video on demand, no DVD, no Blu-ray, because a dictatorship that
well, not even a dictatorship. Hackers.
Well, who were obviously working for the
working out of the Supreme Leader, the mm-hmm. best of the best of everything that is mm-hmm. on the face of the planet, mm-hmm. apparently, sent threatening letters and stuff to Sony executives, mm-hmm. and then they kind of went, eh, and then they were credible threats, and they went, eh, and then movie theaters went, we're still going to play it, and then all of a sudden said, no, we're not going to play it, and yeah, so fuck that. I can't believe that. I'm disappointed.
So I'm disappointed too. Let me go through. I want to kind of give the balance on this. I am in your camp though.
Yeah.
So the situation is that North Korea, America sees North Korea as a sort of short bus dictatorship. Which I'm sorry, that's like a really mean thing to say about short buses. People. It is remedial dictatorship. It is terrible, like, in terms of... So, the problem is, we don't live next door to them. Japan does. Japan knows that they are a nuclear power. I mean, they are a nuclear power. You know, granted, they're a nuclear power. You know, it's like having a 50 cal, but you're using, like, you know, 13 grains to propel it. They have the payload. They just don't really have a way to get it much further than Japan, but they can get it to Japan. So the Sony, the actual owner or CEO of Sony, who has never, ever, ever talked to Sony Pictures, was like, hey, no, fucking stop. Like, first he made them redo effects on the ending mm-hmm. to cover the skull and bone and explosion stuff of Kim Jong-un's face, which is leaked, by the way.
Okay.
So go check it out. Go look on the internet. You can find the scene where Kim Jong-un's face explodes. So that's Ooh. Awesome.
Know what I'm doing after the podcast.
And then as pressure mounted further and further, like, it was, you know, Japan's like, all right, no. We're just, no, at this point, no. Because for America, North Korea isn't much of a threat. For Japan, they have a much higher threat potential
mm-hmm.
because they can reach them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, additionally, I do want to bring up that this, to the best of the best of the best comment, this is Sony. This is the company that has had my credit card stolen like 5 times on the PlayStation mm-hmm. Network. So, I don't exactly think they are technical wizards.
Oh, no, I was referring to the fact that Kim Jong-un is apparently the best of the best of the best.
Right.
That is written in doctrine somehow. Well, who is the best runner? Lineage, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Who is the best hot dog eater?
He's a god. Jong-un. He's got a lineage of a god.
Yeah.
Apparently. So, additionally, it sounds like the hack was literally an admin password. It wasn't like a massive intrusion. It was they got the admin password.
Yeah.
Yay. So, anyway, that being said, fuck bowing to terrorism, because that's what terrorism is.
Yep.
If this turns into something bigger than that, that's something nations need to take. It's going to happen eventually. Korea wants this to happen. So it doesn't matter what stops you pull out or what you do for them or how you bend. They want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I realize it's a company, like, you know, people are saying it's censorship. I know it's not censorship because the company itself who owns the property chose not to do it. So you can't cry censorship, but you can totally cry illegal manipulation.
Yes.
They're being blackmailed. And, you know, what it comes down to at this point is the company has said, this is okay, keep doing this. So... You know, when the next comedy, you know, I mean, like if you take this to the logical extremes, you could have people basically saying that, you know, like you could have Muslim extremists threatening when you release a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that is not a good precedent to set.
No.
It is an incredibly stupid precedent to set. That, because, you know, like, sure, this might have, this will definitely offend people going, I mean, it's going to be offensive to people who like good cinema, mm-hmm. straight up. But, you know, like you can't pick and choose what speech to protect. And, you know, the U.S., like the company should have said no and then basically said, hey, U.S. government, Japanese government, what are you guys doing about this? We're getting threats as...
Yeah.
You know, corporations are people, so they're threatening a person, so let's fucking mobilize some shit. What a fucking asshole Kim Jong-un is.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't care.
Look out.
What are they going to do? Threaten? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that
happen. Would be great.
Yeah, that would be publicity. I would take it.
That would be even more than if Neil deGrasse Tyson came on here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe a terrorism threat would get more.
Neil deGrasse Tyson would get us a lot of English-speaking publicity. Kim Jong-un threatening a podcast would get us international. We'd end up on that like Taiwanese news show where they animate everything.
Yes.
And we'd be all like fat.
That would be awesome.
They'd animate us all fat, and they'd animate us like punching him or something. And that, yeah, it'd be great. I'd take it. So.
Okay. Back to the Facebook questions.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Nickel writes in a while ago, could you please tell us a story about the most surprising or touching gift you have received in recent memory?
You go first.
Oh, I thought that said the most surprising gift of touching you've received in recent
memory. Oh, that one would be easy. I would have like a ton of stories about that. You go ahead. I got to think of one.
I don't have one either.
Oh, yeah. That's too hard to on the spot for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got a lot of past. The most touching gift I think we've received are the masks from Paula.
Yes.
Handmade. Lots of personal time put into it recently. And that's if you're not counting the gift of friendship and the gift of love. And like your party was a great touching gift.
I was going to say that for me right now, that is because I have never had a surprise party thrown. Mm-hmm. And it was such a low-key surprise. I mean, mm-hmm. I came in and thought, oh, hey, everyone's having a web series meeting or something, because it was a lot of, you know, you and Becerra and mm-hmm. Bo, and then all of a sudden all sorts of other people started coming out of the woodwork, and it was really kind of amazing
mm-hmm.
that honestly people came out for that, A, at all, B, on a Wednesday in the middle of the week.
I do want to say
awesome.
This bar literally had woodwork.
Yes,
the tables were actual pieces of log.
Yeah.
So that's, we were definitely, yeah.
And we played
shuffleball and ski board.
Is it
ski ball and shuffleboard?
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, I'm sure, well, I know one is coming up. Aaron is working on one for me. That's pretty awesome. But yeah, I'm sticking with Paula and her masks.
Mm-hmm.
It was an awesome gift.
Yes.
So,
speaking of Paula,
mm-hmm.
she has the next question.
Uh-oh.
What's your opinion on video games as a storytelling medium, and what kind would you personally design?
I love video games as a storytelling medium when they are that. That's my issue with sandbox games, is as a storytelling medium, it becomes much harder to tell a story in a sandbox game. You can give, you know, you can force using like goals and checkpoints and quests and stuff like that. You can kind of force a story, but give me a point and click adventure any day of the week.
What's a sandbox game?
Sandbox games
like Halo?
No. Halo is very linear, and the story is not good. But you take something like Grand Theft Auto, right? That's a sandbox game. Or Far Cry, to some extent, Far Cry 4, Skyrim, mm-hmm. these are sandbox games. There is story there, but these are open world, go where you want, when you want games.
Okay.
So you can't tell a linear story, which is fine. I mean, it is a storytelling platform that's different, and I'm not saying that's bad, but I prefer linear storytelling for most of my sit down entertainment.
So what about like Assassin's Creed or the
a sandbox. But that one has required goal structures.
Right.
So it's more linear. It's sandbox controls, but it's a linear progression.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was gonna say that seems kind of story based.
Yeah, it is. Same with Shadow of Mordor. You know, mm-hmm. and they're definitely story based. But if I had my way, Telltale would be like the story-based game. And that's what I would design as well. In fact, that's what we are designing once we actually get our feet under us, is a Kentucky Blue Clay point-and-click adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, point-and-click adventure is my choice. What about you?
I don't know.
Tetris isn't a story-based adventure. It's about how you build a wall as the proletariat, and then it comes along, the government just takes it from you.
Pac-Man.
You know, I'm just that's a hungry. Freaky story.
Yeah, it is.
Guy who's stuck in a hell where he has to just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat while other spirits chase him and try to get him to eat himself.
Yeah.
Whoa, fuck that.
Yeah, I guess I'd say I guess I think that as a storytelling medium, video games are great. I don't know that I would personally design one.
Hmm. Another good example of a storytelling game, because it's very linear, is Portal. Portal gives you 3D controls, like Half-Life or something like that, but you're in even Half-Life and Half-Life 2, very linear stories. I prefer linear stories, though I will say I love the Stanley Parable. Like, I love the Stanley Parable, which is a sort of on-the-fly story construction game mm-hmm. where you go and you do stuff, and the story is based on the choices you... It's awesome. Stanley Parable is great.
Huh.
So, does not play well on multi-monitor at all. Flips the fuck out.
Okay. Rob McLennan writes, in keeping with the season, what is your favorite work of fiction, movie, book, traditional story, etc., that relates to the holiday season? Evan and Bobby. No, just kidding.
Maybe someday. Do a little reworking on it. Maybe it's going to be the one.
Maybe.
Oh, man, that's a tough one because I like a lot of stuff. I love A Christmas Story, even though it was terribly racist and sexist, like the 50s were.
Yep.
I really like Elf. I love, A Visit from St. Nicholas. I love those old,
I like the Rankin and Bass stories.
The Rankin and Bass stories are great. I like the late 70s, early 80s. I don't remember. They might have also been Rankin and Bass, but they were animation of, like, the mice in 'Twas a Night Before Christmas. Like, it's the same story, but you have these little mice and then, like, these big bucktooth. The bucktooth dad jumping to the window and stuff. They all had buck teeth. It was something about that animation style.
Right. Much like the Frosty the Snowman.
Exactly. Like same animator. That's Rankin Bass.
Rankin Bass,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. I like...
They're animated as opposed to stop motion.
Yeah, I like a lot of the Christmas episodes of stuff. Oh, man.
Just Festivus episode.
The Festivus episode of Seinfeld was wonderful. You've got... Oh, geez. Like, my brain just fell out of my head. But, yeah.
Christmas MASH was
He-Man.
Good.
The He-Man Christmas special. The Christmas special that shall not be named.
One on Endor?
That would be the one. I also really enjoy certain movie trilogies, quadrilogies, whatever, around mm-hmm. this time of year. Like, I love watching Indiana Jones all the way through. I love watching Star Wars all the way through. But ultimately, I really, really like Harry Potter because there's always an awesome Christmas scene in it.
Oh, true, yeah.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries has a Christmas episode. It's Christmas in July. So they're in Australia, but they go to the mountains where it's snowing because it's July's winter, you know, mm-hmm. obviously. And they have a Christmas murder mystery, and it's awesome. I love that. I'm a huge fan of all sorts of different stuff. Song-wise, it's a tough one because the songs usually get overplayed. I like carols. I don't like, like Santa Baby needs to just be strangled and killed and put to bed, finally.
For songs, Rudolph and Frosty are the ones that can never get
old
for me, because it was, you know, Gene Autry, Burl Ives, you know, Silver and Gold.
Silver and Gold, Silver and Gold. Guy was just a greedy fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Who licked his pick to find out if there was gold on it. Nothing.
But, you know, those things to me, and part of that is childhood. But, I mean, 12 Days of Christmas was childhood, and I want to blow up everything that has to do with that.
You know, we weren't French patriarchy, so it never really made a lot of sense to us anyway. Like, I mean, that is definitely an aristocracy song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's messed up.
Yeah, but I mean, that, or like you were saying, Santa Baby, or...
Money.
The chestnuts roasting on them. There's a certain number of them, and we had the Firestone Tires Christmas albums, and they put out a number of those over I don't know how long, and we'd have volume 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. Maybe my dad still has them. I want to get them.
Yeah.
But those songs, nothing. Little Drummer Boy,
man.
Silver and Gold, Rudolph, and Frosty, I could hear. You could put those in my headphones on repeat for an entire year, and I would be okay.
Yeah, I played drums in junior high, so I hate Little Drummer Boy with a passion. It's like a stupid two paradiddle, and then standard. I hate it. I will say I forgot. Emmett Otter's...
I haven't heard Paradiddle in a while.
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Fucking love that
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
Those creepy-ass weasels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I like, though. Like Christmas. I love... It's the one thing that makes me kind of sad about living in Washington, in the Seattle area, is almost never getting snow on Christmas.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks. But I love, you know... I mean, I don't like listening to White Christmas, but I love the concept of a White Christmas.
Yes.
Though, keep your ears out for a couple of Christmas songs coming up in Dead FM.
Yes.
Those are going to be good. And I think there are two of them. Obviously, one's a new classic, thanks to Disney, that everyone's probably sick of hearing, but I think we put a good spin on it. And another one is... A kind of a rapey holiday classic that's been completely changed. So, Ricardo Montalban was the originator.
Oh, really?
As far as singing.
With the Corinthian leather and everything, huh?
He is Corinthian leather.
He is.
Yeah. I didn't know, but in the same movie, Red Skelton sings the same song as the opposite parts. They swap parts. It's very cool. I like it. Red Skelton's actually Aaron's, like, great-great uncle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
She gets no residuals for that.
No.
It's not cool, like, you know, Rival.
Right.
Whose grandfather's just, like, super famous.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Who? Red Skelton was on the documentary.
It's true. That's true. That is interesting.
6 points of separation.
And not Mary. Yeah, there's... I think we're down to, like, two for most people.
Is that...
Two or one.
Yeah.
Thanks to Facebook.
Is that,
Books-wise, like, obviously reading a Christmas Carol, like, as a group is awesome, where you used to do the thing where, like, you know, family members would read a chapter every night for the week or two leading up to Christmas. That was really cool. When you're an adult, doesn't really work. I'm not going to have Scott read me the story. Well, maybe. Hey, Scott, you want to read me a Christmas Carol?
Sure.
Awesome.
I've never experienced that growing up, but the whole... It was, here's the golden book of The Night Before Christmas.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
I'd read that, or Frosty, or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, there was never a lot of...
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like.
All right. And the last question, and what may potentially wrap up one of the shortest podcasts in the history of
Two Parts One Mic. Well, it's holidays. It's the holidays, man.
It is. And we have other things, not that are more important, but we do have other things
They're
to
more
do.
Important. We're not going to lie to you.
Dennis Nickel writes in with, I will have to say, and I don't want to call the man to task. I don't want to be rude to a listener, But I will say probably one of the biggest duh questions we've ever gotten. Dennis writes, would you rather be too hot or too cold?
Too cold.
Too cold.
Always too cold. That's like not even a...
No.
Really? There's only so naked I can get.
That's my... Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I can bundle up. I can put myself under 50 kilos of blanket and sleeping bag and awesomeness and just have a small hole that I can breathe out of and have all that wonderful weight and pressure and downy, comforty goodness around
sleep
me.
Sleep like the dead.
And be awesome. But when it's too hot, I can only get so naked and then I'm still too hot.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll take too cold any day.
Yep. Heartbeat. Too cold. The other day, so we have a standing heater because we got rid of our baseboards. Because fuck baseboards, like, in the face. We got a little standing heater, and there's, like, some magical setting that doesn't give you any indication on the screen that disables the temperature auto shutoff. We don't know what it is, but if you unplug it, like, it resets and that and the temperature auto shutoff gets disabled somehow. You have to fuck with a bunch of stuff until somehow it trips it. Anyway, so we woke up and it was like fucking 82 degrees in the room.
Ooh,
fuck that.
Wow.
Hate it. And it was like ruined. Like, the night is just ruined.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing you can do is like open the door, let a bunch of the hot air out. It's
open
sucked.
Windows, turn on fans,
yeah,
AC
it blew
units.
Ass.
Yeah.
So always too cold.
Yeah.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to talk to us about the heat death of the universe and how we would prefer that to baking in the sun, I suppose, please.
Or how Santa can get to all the houses in one night of the world.
Duh, relativity, man. Santa is moving at near the speed of light. Therefore, time dilation allows him to do all of it. Think about that, though. Like, that's a shit ton of households. Well,
it is.
They've got a shit ton of, like, Western... Eurocentric, just Christian households, you know, but
with chimneys, because I still don't know how he gets in the houses without chimneys.
Well, B&E,
and not getting a B&E right.
Yeah. Ho ho ho. Santa is a felon.